Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
You know, Julie, I found out very recently, after almost 3 years working here, that there is a shower, like a full bathroom and shower on this floor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's of course, a high-ranking official. We cannot disclose the person's name. But, yeah, they have a shower.
Yeah.
And now that person is no longer in that area, and I think all of us riffraff have taken it over.
Last I checked, I mean, maybe you have
well,
a key.
Well, not the shower.
The shower. Yeah, I don't think anybody can get into the actual executive bathroom. But
unless you have a special key.
Yeah, the executive key. And somebody may have it. I don't know. Somebody's benefiting from it instead of using the public squalor toilets that the rest of us use. But it makes you think. It's like cleanliness, right, is next to godliness. That's the old
That's
saying.
That's what I've heard, right? Yeah.
So if you are a high-ranking executive, then you're a little closer to godliness in the corporate ladder of things, and therefore you get to bathe as much as you want. Like, you can have, like, a morning meeting, take a shower, get out, dry off, have another conference call, then another meeting, then another shower. You can get up to, like, 5 showers a day.
Okay, so, sure, you're that executive, you're very clean, you have a lot of Lamborghinis, a nice income. You have many choices of mustaches that you could wear. I'm assuming this is like a luxe thing, right?
I'm assuming this is every executive has this kind of thing.
Yeah. But here's a little something I'm going to throw down there that you don't have.
What's that?
You probably don't have good bacteria.
Ooh.
And that's how it is sometimes. It doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world. If you don't have good bacteria, you ain't got nothing.
So this comes down to the idea that maybe on one hand, you have the clean-cut executives, and the other, the dirty hippies.
Yes.
And then maybe the dirty hippies, who not only don't have a shower at work, might not even be using their shower at home every day.
Right.
That they may have the right philosophy here. They may have the correct way of life in this culture war of bathing.
Well, okay, we talked a little bit, we talked about this in the podcast about, is your gut a genius? We talked about all the bacteria in your gut and what's going on there. Similarly, scientists, researchers are starting to look at the bacteria in our skin and say, whoa, hold on a second. There's a lot more going on here at skin deep level than we knew about before, perhaps it's not a good idea to wash away all our good bacteria. And in fact, there's something called the Human Microbiome Project, which is essentially mapping the skin's ecosystem. And
the skin's ecosystem.
Yeah, they're calling it the skin's ecosystem, which was really cool. And they're even saying that it's a lot like a zoo and that there's much more diversity or maybe even like a rainforest. Yeah. So they're saying that the human body is resembling a super organism.
Okay. So my body, my skin rather is a jungle.
Yes.
And I should maybe not get up every morning and slash and burn it in the shower.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. I'm going to say this. I don't know what everybody's jungles are like with their armpits, so I'm not suggesting that people don't bathe. However, we do have good data that perhaps it's not as necessary as before. This sort of American ideal of cleanliness and godliness isn't exactly the right path.
Right. Well, the connection between cleanliness and godliness is really fascinating and pretty much spans the entire length of human history. There's a great book out there called Clean, A History of Personal Hygiene and Purity by Virginia Smith. And I highly recommend picking this up if anybody's really interested in this, because it basically, she exhaustively analyzes the emergence and advancement of, on one hand, hygiene, which is my body needs to be clean sometimes because it gets dirty, and if it gets too dirty, there's a problem.
Right.
And then the idea of purity, the idea that, yes, exactly, that my soul is pure, that there's a connection between physical and spiritual purity or mental purity, and these two issues become intertwined throughout human history.
Right.
So suddenly we have situations where it's like, oh, I'm going into the sauna to sweat out my illness and also maybe atone for sins, and it just gets complicated and intertwined throughout history.
Right.
So we have this thing, this cleanliness and godliness, that if I can scrub it out, then I'm going to be better in the long run, right?
Yeah, we have that. So we've got that sort of, you know, albatross of history on us, right, that has colored our perception of bathing and mm-hmm. hygiene. And then we also have the American Civil War, in which Frederick Law Olmsted, if that sounds familiar, he was the guy who created Central Park, or was the architect for Central Park.
Oh, yes, Olmsted, yeah.
Yeah, but he was actually on the Union side. He created a big sanitation campaign, and he basically said, look, let's, you know, for all the soldiers coming in off the war field, you know, even if they're just hanging out, let alone they've got some sort of wound, let's make sure that they're cleaned regularly, that their linens are cleaned regularly, and that the walls and, you know, the hospitals and whatnot are all cleaned. And they found that greatly decreased disease and illness. So all of a sudden, people have that aha moment, and we're like, oh, yeah, we should probably do this all the time, which has led to our obsession with bathing.
Well, I also have to say, I'll admit that I am sometimes maybe not compulsive, but I love a good shower. You know, I mean, it's like I get up in the morning, and on one level, yes, I want to feel clean. On another level, I want my hair to not stand straight up.
Yeah.
But then also, it's just like you're hit with all this hot water. It wakes you up. It refreshes you. It's just, you know, you're living completely in the moment while that water is on your face.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's the soap thing.
Yes. Well,
that becomes problematic if you do it all the time.
Right.
Right.
I mean, on like one level, that is the whole no poo movement, which isn't quite as strange as it sounds. Because when I first, a friend of mine was like, yeah, I'm doing this no poo thing. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know if that's possible. I think
might
die.
I'm still hoping. What is
shampoo? No poo.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I mean,
I know. Well, that's where
that scatologically, it's just, I'm going to go there. So.
Well, yeah, when I first, I was like, yeah, if that's possible, I'm on board.
Because, no, you know? It's actually with the shampoo thing, it is actually really good for.
Yeah, I was talking about not pooing ever again. Like that's also good for me, but not using shampoo. And the idea being that your hair is going to be better off in the long run if you're not.
Right.
Either the more extreme version being that you're not using all these harsh soaps.
Right. The idea is to distribute the oils rather than strip them away.
Right.
Same thing with the skin though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I don't know if you know this, but this is so crazy. There are 10 bacterial cells for every one human cell.
Wow.
So, you know, if they had a quorum, like you wouldn't even have a vote there, right? Basically. And then, although some of the bacteria on our skin is foreign and can make us sick, most of it is harmless and a lot of it is beneficial. So there's this great New York Times article called The Great Unwashed. And in that article, they say that good bacteria are educating your own skin cells to make your own antibiotics, says Dr. Richard Gallo, and that's, he's the chief of dermatology division at the University of California, San Diego, so we know what he's talking about. And so they essentially produce their own antibiotics that kill off bad bacteria. So if you're showering three times a day, then you're probably going to have a real problem in terms of that good bacteria that you're stripping off, and you're actually going to be damaging your skin cells and making it more apt, perhaps, to actually have bad bacteria glom onto it.
Yeah, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention actually warns that that washing and scrubbing excessively or in an environment like a hospital where you're constantly using these antibacterials and you're wearing gloves, that you can get irritant contact dermatitis, which is actually an occupational risk for healthcare professionals. And also excessive scrubbing can wear away the stratum corneum, which is the outmost skin barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if you're regularly breaching this, drying it out, it's getting irritated and cracked. Like you say, it's going to be more susceptible to pathogens. It's like cleaning out a neighborhood, everybody gets foreclosed on, suddenly all these empty houses and less reputable things and people may move into those homes. You know, you clean out the natural environment of bacteria,
right.
You know, who knows what the next tenants are going to
be
like.
So you're saying behind my ear might become a crack den.
Yes, crack den of bacterial mayhem.
Mm, yeah. Okay. I thought that might be the case. This is actually interesting, too, the places on the human body where there are different types of diversity. Because, again, remember, you've got all that bacteria, and it's mm-hmm. not just one kind of bacteria. There's actually, I read somewhere, there's like 1,000 different type of bacteria on your skin at this very moment. Scientists actually expected to find the most bacteria and the most diversity in moist, dark environments, such as our underarms, between our toes. How do I say this delicately? Our crecus buttocus.
Yeah, I think that's the Latin, yeah.
Yes. But it was actually the forearms that have the most bacterial diversity.
Like the inside of the forearm?
Well, they didn't say exactly.
Or the outside.
I think, I'm going to guess it's on the inside. Just because, you know, your arm is going up and down and perhaps, I don't know, this is Julie's like flimsy theory. And you might, have more, contact with your other skin, right?
Right.
I don't know. But actually, the forearm has 44 bacteria species on average.
Uh-huh.
By comparison, the behind the ear only saw 19 bacteria species.
Wow. So, like, the worst, like, instead of, like, thinking about, like, spitting on somebody if you're really mad at somebody, come up to them and just start rubbing your forearms against their face. Just, like,
right.
One on both sides, up and down.
Yeah.
Against their cheeks.
Yeah, yeah. And then also the crease of the arm, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's... That kind of makes sense because that's sort of a moist area.
I found that really interesting because a lot of times when I'm on the MARTA, the public transportation train here we have in Atlanta, it's just like the London Tube except smaller and less efficient.
Mind the gap.
Yeah, it's but I'm generally reluctant to actually touch surfaces with my fingers.
Right.
So I will wrap my arm around it and actually end up clutching the bar.
Mm.
With that, area right below the, what are we calling it? The opposite of the elbow? The inner elbow?
The crease of your arm.
Yeah. So I thought I was doing a good thing. I'm actually doing my part to dirty up MARTA, apparently.
Yeah, you're getting all funky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole thing where they say, you know, of course, cover your mouth when you sneeze or cough.
Right.
But people have been encouraging us to use the vampire or the Dracula method, right? Where you bring it up and you cover your nose and mouth with the crook of your elbow there.
The crook.
Yeah,
yes.
The crook.
Yeah.
And that sounded great. It's like, oh, okay, I'm not going to be, you know, using that for anything. I'm not, you know, putting my food there and eating out of it. So, but it turns out it's like, oh, I might be getting a little sick. Here, let me press my face up against the dirtiest, most bacterial populated part of my body.
Let me blow out this possible, virus now into the crook of my elbow with the 44 bacteria and see if I can create my own little petri dish and then rub it on some mass transportation like pole and
You look down and they've like, there are little cities emerging there.
Yeah. You know, little skyscrapers.
This presentation is brought to you by Intel, sponsors of tomorrow.
But that's, again, that's the surprise of all of this is, mm-hmm. From what I could tell in the research, it wasn't until 2007 that people actually started to look at the skin and say, what about the bacteria there? And another really cool stat that we found is that the most stable skin sites look more similar across different people than separate skin sites on one person. So that means that strangers often share the same bacteria living on their underarms, even as two separate sites on the same person contain wildly different bacteria. So if you ever you feel really separate from humanity, just think about that. Just think about your armpits uniting all of us.
It's a beautiful thought.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's just, thinking about it, it's only been since the 40s and 50s that we've really gotten into the whole must bathe every day kind of thing. And a lot
modern
of
conveniences,
yeah,
right?
Modern conveniences. Everybody suddenly has a bathroom. It's why if you stay at older hotels, you frequently find the whole exterior bathroom thing, and you're like, whoa, I can't believe I'm paying X amount a night, and I've got to walk out in the middle of the night to go pee.
Right.
But that's just part of it. But the core here is that long before this, for millions of years before this, we were not taking baths every day. It's a part of our development that we were dirtier people.
Well, and also our...
A funkier people.
We were a funkier people, and technology has changed us so much. I mean, even if you're a farmer today, you're probably still not in the soil quite as much as you were before, right? Because we have machines that are taking care of things. So we're not getting as so crazy dirty as we were before, to the point where you come home from your job and it's just like you've got coal dust, underneath your nail bed. I mean, it still happens, right? But it's just not as frequent.
Yeah. I don't take a shower when I come in the afternoon from work, because that would be a little silly, since I generally don't break a sweat in the course of a day. Unless, maybe I should sometimes if I'm on MARTA. And it's
I don't know. Maybe you're just trying to slough off all that those e pollutants.
Yeah, that's true.
From your computer.
E pollutants, and then just sort of smog and exhaust and all that. Okay, so maybe I should take a shower when I get home. But the point being, I'm not toiling in the mud. I'm not I'm not returning home streaked in the excrement of various farm animals.
No,
most days.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's not. It's not like the Black Plague era, right? There's not urine, hopefully, in the streets and feces and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And it's also, even if I am breaking a sweat, it's, sweat in and of itself is not like stink juice coming out of your body.
No.
It's, you let sweat set, you let it go unwashed, then things can get a little extra funky, I guess. But,
yeah. I mean, sweat is not the enemy, actually, right? That's not the funk causing, active ingredient here.
Right. And in fact, I've heard, there was a This American Life several years back where some guys intentionally became homeless. They were kind of down on their luck, and they're like, hey, it would be easier if we just went ahead and became homeless, lived on the streets in New York, where there are a lot of, so we won't have to worry about going hungry because we know where to hit and where to go. But early on in the process, they were very into all right, we're going to avoid falling into the trap of being stinky bums. And one of the things they advocated was washing the socks was just vital.
Yeah.
And they said that if you ever smell somebody on public transportation is down on their luck and kind of grimy and they're reeking, there's a good chance it's sock funk that's going on.
Yeah.
Socks just, completely, they soak with sweat, et cetera. And then stuff starts growing.
I mean, that makes sense, right? You've got your own little ecosystem in your shoes.
Yeah, and nobody's making the argument that dirty hippies, they generally don't even wear socks, right?
No.
Just open-toed sandals.
Yeah. See, again, there you go.
What is it, Birkenstocks? Is that the...
That is, sort of, I think, the hierarchical type of footwear that's worn by hippies. But the other thing here is the apocrine glands. And these are glands that are found in the breast, genital area, eyelids, armpits, and ear. And in the breast, if you're wondering, why are they in the breast? They actually secrete fat droplets into breast milk. They're not making smelly breasts or anything.
Okay.
And in the ear, they help form earwax. So again, that's the culprit here. It's not the fact that you actually sweat. Mm-hmm. And I've also read before too that diet can obviously give you a funk.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you're eating nothing but garlic and onions every day, day in, day out.
Yeah. Or fried chicken, 24/7.
Yeah. If your diet is nothing but fast food, fried foods, then it might have an effect on the way you smell.
Yeah. Yeah. So, with all that in mind, still, I think that what's interesting about all of this is that, okay, we've got the discovery that there's good bacteria on the skin, and yet we have this very robust antibacterial soap market that's in everything. It seems like it maybe has cooled off a little bit in the last year, but I mean, I was seeing it in body wash and so on and so forth. And actually, it's not ideal at all to be using an antibacterial wash, at least the stuff that's used commercially.
Right.
There's a place for it in hospitals, obviously.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's like maybe you keep it around for times when, yes, some antibacterial soap would be a good idea.
Right.
You know, like you're doing something particularly dirty, or you accidentally stick your hand in cat feces. I don't know.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
But if you're placing do-si-do with the poles on mass transit, right?
Yeah. So
you might want a little Purell.
Yeah, but it's like you just ate dinner and you got a little grease on your fingers. Maybe not a good time to actually just scour the bacteria from your hands.
Yeah, and there are plenty of studies out there that have looked at the effectiveness of antibacterial soap, and they're essentially saying that just the normal soaping, counting your ABCs, you know, I think it's like under 2 minutes or something, washing your hands for 2 minutes with just regular soap is much more effective than the antibacterial soap, because the antibacterial soap is actually stripping away the good bacteria along with the bad bacteria.
I think sometimes there's this sense with washing your hands, though, that it's kind of like bacteria and these deadly things that can get into us, all these germs, that they're kind of magic. And therefore, you're going to need something equally magical to get rid of it. I don't know if that really makes sense. I know on a scientific level what's going on with germs.
Right.
But still there's this sense like there are germs everywhere and they're these kind of magical unseen things. And so you're going to need something with a little magical potency to it to take it out and not just something that kind of smells nice. It's.
I see what you're saying.
It's kind of crazy. I admit, but I mean, I feel like a lot of people must see it that way, you know?
I don't know. I mean, are we talking about like?
Like I used to use antibacterial soaps a lot more till my wife convinced me not to.
Okay.
So and I think part of it when I was using it all the time, it was like if I'm going to wash my hands, they're going to be as clean as possible. Then they're going to if there's any risk of germs getting on my hand, I'm going to go ahead and nip that in the bud.
Right.
Because there could be these hidden invisible. You know, it's like putting some sort of magic token up on the door to keep ghosts out.
All right. So it was like a talisman for you.
Yeah. It's kind of a weirdly like
the evil eye.
Yeah, a talisman like science looping back around and becoming folktale all in the course of your hand washing.
Well, actually all that hand washing with antibacterial soap has given rise to something called the hygiene hypothesis, which is actually really interesting because as we all know, there's been a huge uptick in allergies with children. And so the hygiene hypothesis says basically that our super clean world is depriving our children's immune system of developing properly. So instead of doing what it's supposed to do, which is to fight off bacteria, it doesn't really have that bacteria anymore really to fight off. So
it's kind of the mother boy effect, right? Where the, like, you know, mother boy, like you're the coddled
like
child.
Mama's boy. Oh, yeah.
That is protected from all the harsh realities of the earth, of the world, and then therefore can never really, survive. unattended because they just have no defenses.
Right. Let out into the wild. Yeah. It's then, ravaged by a pack of lions.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know.
Like Buster.
Yeah. Except for the pack of lions is actually your own immune system because the immune system is looking for something to attack, right? And if there's no good or bad bacteria going on or if there's very little bacteria that would normally be there, then it would essentially turn to the person, right? And begin attacking the person. So and that's what you see with some of the autoimmune, system diseases today, right? Or even like something as simple as eczema flare-ups. I mean, there's a good theory there that says that those flare-ups happen when the bad bacteria is stripped off. So that's where all these allergies start to kick in.
It also reminds one of, some of these, you know, pages from the history books of ancient empires and the idea that you want to keep the army away invading people and causing turmoil elsewhere because God help us if they come back to the city.
Yeah.
Because then they're just going to turn on us and turn on themselves.
I know. And it's going to be like a Shakespeare play, at least the ending.
Yeah.
Right.
With a wedding?
Oh, it's usually a wedding or death. Sorry,
oh, okay.
I went dark.
Oh, you went dark. I thought you meant it was going to end in a wedding.
Okay. No. I was thinking, you know, poison flasks, hemlock.
Yeah.
the like.
Gotcha.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's why that's the case for being a dirty hippie, really.
Yeah, I'm still not completely convinced. You know, I'm not going to give up showering. Like I say, I really like some hot water splashing my face in the morning. However, yeah. I have forced myself to not wash my hair every day. I've been hearing it for a while, but then like the last dude who cut my hair was like, yeah, you should just like maybe just wash it every other day. So I'm trying that.
You should.
Yeah.
Seriously. Okay. And not that everybody wanted some sort of, tips on this, but.
This is what everyone wanted.
Tips on hair care. But really, if you massage your scalp and you redistribute the oils, then you're not going to have slick looking hair. I will tell you this because not that I want to reveal this, but.
Reveal it.
I just washed my hair after 7 days.
Okay.
Yeah. This morning. And it was not. It wasn't slick at all. Of course, you didn't see me before that, so you can't verify. But trust me, that's what you do.
Wait, so your hair is better for having, day seven. Was your hair better before you washed it or after?
Well, I mean, it was starting to get a little funky because it's been 7 days, before I'd actually put shampoo on it.
Okay.
But my point is that it looked quite lovely, maybe, of course, days one through five, six and seven looking a little bit funky, but it wasn't like an oil slick or anything.
Right. And it's not like you get up the next morning, you haven't taken a shower, you haven't washed your hair rather in a day, and then it's suddenly chaos. It's suddenly bad.
Right. Yeah. The key is you have to massage your scalp and redistribute the oils.
Massage scalp, redistribute oils. Gotcha.
That's your takeaway.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Takeaway.
I did want to mention that the author of Dirt Unclean, Catherine Aschenberg, has a lot of really great information about this, sort of the history of funk and the history of cleanliness. So you guys might want to check that out as well.
Cool. Well, hey, I've got just one quick listener mail here. A listener by the name of Billy writes in with a little contemplation about the role of robots in our future. Says, greetings. I was listening to Love, Hate, and Robots. You mentioned the love bots, like the one you called Roxy. That's with three X's. I am very constrict myself, but would this be adultery? It is not a living being. It would only be able to work outside a set parameter setting. However, physically, it would resemble a human. Also, what would happen if you had a sex bot and it downloaded a virus on the servo net? Okay, some interesting thoughts there. But,
yeah.
But indeed, what would it be adultery if one started seeing a robot on the side? I don't know. Saw one robot and then you were seeing another robot?
I'm still intrigued by the idea of robot STDs.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what he's talking about.
Yeah, which there's actually that case where the guy gave himself it wasn't sexually transmitted,
but it was a
computer transmitted virus in his body.
That's right. He had a RFID chip implanted and he gave himself a virus on that chip. So I don't know what the future holds there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you have some interesting tidbits to share with us or just some contemplative ideas, you can share them with us on Twitter or Facebook. We are Blow the Mind on both of those. And, I want to mention that, they have these hashtags on Twitter. If you use Twitter, you are well aware of this. They're often used for bad humor. But there's one particular hashtag that I have been following because the hashtag is Blew My Mind, one word. That's hashtag... The hash sign blew my mind. And I'm interested because I'm like, I wonder what's blowing everybody's mind on Twitter. It turns out very inane stuff is blowing people's minds.
All right, lay it on us. Examples.
Yes, some of them are so bad I can't actually read them in the podcast. But like, here's one. I don't know. Is it Bieber or Bieber?
Bieber.
Yeah, one is at Justin Bieber. Bieber, I just saw your movie with my best friend, because there's several D's. And then something that resembles like a smiley face but facing a different direction than I'm used to. And then they add the hashtag blew my mind. And then there's a heart thing. Please follow me back. It will make my Friday. And then some other strange emoticon that I'm apparently too old to understand. But okay, so this person was blown, their mind was blown by this. Then there's another one. I think that's the first time in my life I've put on pants, left leg, right leg, blew my mind.
Whoa.
And then somebody just watched The Sixth Sense and it blew their mind. So I think we can do better, listeners.
Yeah.
If you encounter some cool bit of science, if we I dare I say, if we blow your mind with some cool bit of science or just a cool idea or a contemplation on the world around us, share it on Twitter. Throw on that hashtag and let's reclaim the blew my mind hashtag from the people who are there are some good posts out there, but from largely the people who are misusing it on dull things.
Yeah, I like that. Let's reclaim it. Let's give some justice to blew my mind.
Yeah. Indeed.
And hey, if you have any thoughts that you would like to share with us, please do so at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.